Comments made on the Serotalk Podcast Network are those of the individuals and do not represent Serotalk Corporation, its staff, management, board of directors, or third-party resellers.
Hi, this is Bill, and welcome to this week's episode of Real World Fitness. My guest this week is a lady who has undergone a remarkable transformation. After living the first 41 years of her life battling weight issues, she took control of her life and lost over 100 pounds. She not only transformed her body, but transformed her life. Now, 10 years later, she's kept that weight off and continued to improve her body and her health, and she's made it her life's work to motivate, inspire, and help others to do the same thing. Her name is Tracy Rifkind, and she's known worldwide as the Queen of the Kettlebell Swing. We'll find out why in just a few minutes. But first, I wanted to tell you guys, I actually almost forgot to record this segment this morning. I'm so engrossed in the book I'm reading, Mick Jagger by Philip Norman, which I picked up on audiblepodcast.com/Serotalk. You can go there and get a free 1 month trial and pick up a free book of your own. That's audiblepodcast.com/Serotalk. And now, my guest, the Queen of the Kettlebell Swing, Tracy Rifkind. Thanks so much for joining me today, Tracy.
Thank you so much for asking me to do this interview. I'm very excited about it. Look forward to talking about the kettlebell swing, of course, my book about it, dieting, hopefully, maybe, and anything else that those subjects will lead us to talk about.
Well, I think we're actually going to start with your transformation and talk about your nutrition. A lot of the people that I interact with, I kind of was thinking about my class that I run, my online class, and it's the majority of it is female, and the majority of it is in the 40 to 60 range. So I thought, wow, perfect audience that can really relate to what you've gone through in your life.
Exactly. And I am so happy to be at this point in my life. I don't look back wishing for anything other than exactly what's happened to me so far and really enjoying every bit of it.
Well, let's go all the way back. Now, let's preface this with Tracy's not 20, guys. She is in her early 50s, I believe.
51.
51. Okay, that's what makes it even more impressive. When you hear about somebody in their teens or 20s or 30s doing this kind of a transformation, it's like, that's cool. But when somebody is 40 plus and totally does a turnaround like you did, that's just so much more inspirational. You started life as the proverbial little chubby kid, right?
I was the chubbiest person I knew in the world up until probably my teens. I was the chubby one in my family. I was the chubby one at school. So when I was in elementary school, we're looking at the early 70s and late 60s, early 70s. And I was that one, the last one picked on the team, the last one, the girl that never was asked to the dance. You know, I was that girl. So I can sympathize with people that feel that they were, whether it was weight or whether it was the kid that wore glasses or the kid that had freckles or the kid that didn't have money, I can relate.
So it wasn't an easy start for you.
You know, at the time, of course, it didn't feel easy, but, you know, it made me the person that I am today. And for that, I can't complain.
Okay. So you went through school, you were the heavy kid in the class and so on and so forth, and then you got out into the real world. I'm just curious, I'm going to kind of jump a little ahead to your marriage.
Okay.
Your husband, Mark, is an extraordinary athlete, and you seem like the ultimate odd couple.
That would seem to be the case, but a little bit of history there is that when I met him, we met actually outside of the gym, but because of the gym. This was the 80s. I know we had a conversation a week and a half ago, Bill, you and I, about the days of bodybuilding. And late 80s was really its you know, the beginning of its heyday. And I was a big fan of Rachel McLeish, Miss Olympia. And I desperately wanted to look like her. I mean, what woman didn't want to look like her? So I was in my early 20s, and I decided to start going to the gym, Gold's Gym. Where else would you go in order to look like that? And Mark was working at the gym at the time. He was coaching former Mr. America Scott Wilson. They were training partners, and as well as Mark coaching him. But I wasn't really interested in him when I saw him at the gym. So, you know, he was a pretty hardcore bodybuilder. But that's how our paths crossed. Otherwise, in my regular life, I would have never met him. But he's accomplished competitive athlete. He went to college on a full gymnastics scholarship. So, you know, you don't run across too many men that were Olympic level gymnasts. He went on to do multiple types of training between gymnastics and bodybuilding. Finally, after meeting the two of us, getting married, went into powerlifting and then kettlebells, and the rest is kind of history. So he's very accomplished, and was a master instructor for Pavel Sokolin for John First, formerly the RKC. So he's being a master instructor for me. I just get to look across the dining room table every day and say, "Hey, sweetie, what do you think about this?" And he'll tell me. So, I mean, I owe a lot of what I know by having hung around him for the last 27 years. Him and his training partners always coming over after their workouts, talking about their training, talking about progressive training, which if you're not exposed to that, even though I wasn't an athlete at the time, 20 years of listening to these men talk about training and their own progress rubbed off on me. So it was really quite convenient that when I started looking at my own training, that I kind of accidentally just kind of knew where to go and how to do it. So, and certainly if I have any questions, I have a master instructor at my disposal. So, you know, there you go.
That's kind of convenient. So basically you had this great education without even trying to get it. It just kind of like was osmosis from being around it, and you didn't realize how much you knew.
Exactly. I am so glad you put it that way. I got a great education without even knowing it. It's like, you know, growing up in the kitchen of a chef as their helper, right? I think you're going to learn how to cook pretty good stuff.
Yeah, you definitely are.
Yeah.
So you'd been going to the gym and you'd been exercising, and obviously you wanted to improve your body and your look and everything. But what was the main turning point where you did this just unbelievable transformation?
Okay, so let's go back to the days when I met my husband in 87. At the time, I was a single mother, and I was looking for a husband, plain and simple. So I, even though I had been overweight most of my life, I was motivated to keep my weight down in order to catch a man. So that's when I was going to the gym, and I was doing traditional bodybuilding, traditional weight resistance. And even though I had been going to the gym for months and months religiously, I was nowhere near looking like Rachel McLeish, even at the age of 24. I can tell you honestly that I feel like I look more like Rachel McLeish now at the age of 51 than I ever did when I was 24. That's a strong and a bold statement, but it's absolutely 100% true. So one of the reasons why, as I started regaining the weight after becoming comfortable in a relationship and being married and having another baby, one of the reasons why I was not motivated to go back into the gym, even though I knew I probably should, is because it did not produce results for me. And that combined with the old myth that I thought was true, which is it was my genetics. Genetically, I just wasn't meant to have this body. I was always a chubby kid, so that proved it. I was always going to battle this. I was always going to fight this fight, and I gave up. I gave up that fight for a bit, for a long bit, actually. And I believed that to be true until I saw the changes happening for myself. So when this transformation happened, I didn't set out to transform myself. I just set out to lose 100 pounds. So the fact that I was able to change my body in such a drastic way, and when I say drastic is that if you were to meet me in person, you would put $100 on the fact that I have never been overweight in my life. So people meeting me, looking at me, could not believe that I was ever 250, 260 pounds. I don't have any of the telltale signs of being obese. So that's really the transformation. My story is not just a weight loss story, because people lose weight every single day. Weight loss stories are a dime a dozen. The story really is about how I changed my body in a way that erased the signs of lifelong obesity and improved my health and fitness to a level that exceeds people half of my women, half of my age, men half of my age, and has given me a kind of freedom in my life that I never thought possible, which I now know is possible for any and everybody.
So as you say, you were just shooting to lose a substantial amount of weight. You weren't looking for this big transformation that kind of came along with the weight loss. How was your health at the time you made that decision to drop that 100 pounds?
Well, that was the whole issue, really, was my health. I describe it like this. I felt like I was dodging a bullet every single day of my life. And I might get a little emotional just saying that right now, because it's absolutely true. And what I mean by dodging a bullet is I felt like I was every day, oh, I dodged the heart attack bullet today. Oh, I dodged the cancer bullet today. Oh, I dodged the diabetes bullet today. I felt like every single day I was dodging the bullet of some kind of disease or, God forbid, death. And I would think, you know what? My husband's going to be really pissed off if I die because I'm fat. He's going to be really mad at me, and I don't blame him. So as far as how my health was, I wasn't showing any signs of those diseases to the point where I felt that I needed to go to the doctor. So I avoided going to the doctor because I just didn't want to know. I just didn't want to know. But luckily, I decided to change my behavior, and with that, came a level of health and fitness that I could only dream of, to be honest.
So you just were becoming increasingly aware that luck was running out, so to speak, and it was time to make a change.
Absolutely. And I was motivated by, and you know, a lot of times, I wrote a blog post about it years ago about somebody said to me, and I used to get this all the time, and it used to piss me off. People would say, oh, you mean so you finally hit rock bottom, huh? Oh, man, that used to make me so mad, because I don't really like that phrase, rock bottom, because I wasn't, yeah, sure, I was feeling like I was dodging a bullet, but I was having a lovely life. I had a husband that I loved. I had kids that I was proud of. I had a job that I enjoyed, and that's not rock bottom to me. In fact, it's the opposite of
rock bottom. That's not rock bottom in anybody's world.
No, in fact, it was the opposite of rock bottom. So did I hit rock bottom? No. It was just the opposite. I realized how good my life was and how much I wanted to live more of it. And that's what was the motivating force behind needing and wanting to make a change.
If you don't mind, let's kind of like break down specifically what your approach was. I mean, what were the changes? I know you went through a systematic, we're going to do this, we're going to do this, we're going to do this. What were all those thises? What did you do to change your life to drop all that weight and become so healthy?
Great question. Okay, so my answer to that, and it's truly the only answer, is I stopped doing what was making me fat. And when I work with people now, that's the first question I ask them. What is it that's making you fatter than you say you want to be? And if they can answer that question, then we can work together. If they can't answer that question, then they're going to continue to be a victim of what they claim they don't know, because I believe that everybody knows. So I knew right away what was making me fat. I was eating a ton of food. And up until that point that I decided to stop, I could say that I was enjoying eating a ton of food. I had no shame in saying, yeah, I had ate a quarter ice cream last night, or I ate a box of cookies, or whatever it was. I didn't have any shame about it. Did I feel good about it? Sometimes I did, sometimes I didn't. I'm not having any judgment about it. But I decided that I was going to stop doing that. And the best way for me personally to keep track of that was counting calories. Counting calories was something that always worked for me until I stopped doing it, right? Because one of the things that I hear a lot is, it didn't work for me. Well, you know what? You stopped doing it. You know, it didn't work to stay on that particular program if that wasn't right for you. I that's what you mean by that. But scientifically, eating less probably is going to work for most people, okay? I'm not going to say I know what's best for everybody. I'm an expert on what worked for me. That I know without a doubt, okay? And what worked for me was counting calories. And the reason why it worked for me, Bill, is because I was excited to do it. I was excited. Every day I woke up, it was a game to me. It was a game of counting calories. It was a game of keeping a food journal. It was the game of reclaiming my life, of controlling, making the decisions that were right for me. If you go into a diet with resentment, you are not going to see the results that you want. Resentment does not produce positive results. I didn't resent having to eat less. I was excited about it. And I was excited about how finally I was going to take back a part of my life that, the other reason why I was excited about it is because I love to cook. I learned how to cook when I was 32, and I got really interested in the art of cooking. And when it came time for me to cut my calories, what was so exciting to me about it was, how much food could I fit into this limited amount of calories? That's what the game was for me, because I still enjoyed eating a lot of food. I still enjoyed a full belly. I still enjoyed big portions. So for me, it was the game of what's known in the diet community of volumetrics. I mean, I didn't know it at the time what I was doing it, or that somebody else gave that a name, but that's pretty much what that style of eating is known in the diet world as. Lots of fresh food, of course, that is not very calorie dense, allows you to eat a lot more food. So that's what the game was for me. You know, I had a certain amount of calories, which was 1,200. I write about it in my book, The Swing. And I tried to stay within or around that number every single day. And I threw in a little bit of intermittent fasting, but, you know, that's another part of the story that I go over in my book. So does that answer the question? I stopped doing what was making me fat, and I was excited to do it.
Okay, that definitely answers the question. And the key there, the most important part of your answer, and people don't get this, is you have to get excited. Whether we're talking about your new eating program or we're talking about your workouts, you got to make it fun. You got to make it exciting. If it's drudgery, or you resent, oh, I got to go work out. Yeah, oh, I got to prepare my food. It ain't going to work. So obviously you totally changed your approach to eating, and you had a lot of excitement about the new body, the new life, the journey you were on. Mm-hmm. You had come to the conclusion that conventional bodybuilding, conventional weight training didn't give you the results you wanted. So how did we get to kettlebells and the swing?
So how it happened was I went on a diet. That was the first thing I did. I started walking because I was so overweight. That was pretty much all I could do safely. I certainly did not want to go to a gym, and a lot of people that are 100 pounds overweight and more could identify with that. The last thing you want to do is walk inside of a gym where everybody else seems to be smaller than you. So I went for a walk every single day without fail, 7 days a week. I walked 2 miles 6 days a week and 4 miles on Sunday. And even though my lower back hurt and my feet were killing me, nothing could stop me. So I managed to drop 50 pounds very quickly, like within 2 months or something crazy like that. 50 pounds just gone. So there I was at 200 pounds. And being 41 at the time, I knew that it wasn't going to look pretty. You know, I had, that was a lot of weight. I had stretched my skin and had a couple babies and blah, blah, blah. But what I did know is I knew I had to do some kind of weight resistance exercise if I were going to have any hope of, you know, not looking saggy and sucked up and whatever you want to look at. I'm just going to say that those are the words that most people can identify with, not wanting to look horrible, right? So I didn't want to go to the gym, and I knew that traditional bodybuilding weight resistance exercises had not worked for me in the past. So what was going to make this different? So my husband, Mark Rifkin, at the time had discovered kettlebells, and I had listened to your interview you did with Steve Maxwell, and he mentioned that he had first heard of Pavel in a magazine called Milo, and that was actually the first time Mark had heard about Pavel. And the reason was, not only did Mark buy the magazine Milo, but he wrote for Milo, and in that same issue that Pavel had published his vodka, pickle juice, and kettlebells, or something crazy like that. Mark had also written an article called Stones in the Afternoon. So that's how Mark found the kettlebell and went through his RKC, his certification, and then became a senior instructor for Pavel. So right about that time. So, of course, believing in the magic of the kettlebell, Mark said, okay, if you're not going to go to the gym, then just do some swings. And at the time, this was in 2005, so you're talking 10 years ago, this kettlebell thing, this cast iron ball with a handle on it, looked pretty Stone Age, right? Looked pretty Stone Age and pretty hardcore. And I certainly didn't want anybody seeing me swing this thing around. It was kind of ridiculous to me at the time. But knowing what I know about the brilliance of my husband, I said, okay, just show me how to do it and leave me alone. Well, leave. So he showed me how to swing this thing, and it was an eight kilo kettlebell at the time. And we have a garage gym, and I said, okay, now go away. Leave me be. And he says, just do 10 sets of 10. So begrudgingly, I did my 10 sets of 10 and didn't really pay too much attention to it, just knew that I had to do it. It's kind of like, you know, taking your medicine, right? Just had to do it. In fact, I was kind of embarrassed about the whole thing because, like I said, seriously, back in 2005, this cast iron ball with a handle on it, nobody knew what it was. And swinging it around, I mean, really? I mean, you don't go walk into a gym and see people swinging things around. So I forced myself to go out into the garage. Didn't cost me anything. I already had a bell there. Didn't cost me a membership. Nobody was around to watch me. I did my 10 sets of 10, you know, twice a week. Twice a week was all I could bring myself to do. So at the time, I had already lost 50 pounds. I was losing on a regular schedule of 2 pounds a week. Easy. It was not a problem for me. Just every week I lost my weight. No reason not to. I mean, I was eating like a person who weighed about 140 pounds. So it stands to reason I was going to get to 140 pounds pretty quickly, which I did. But it was about, I guess I had lost another 15 or 20 pounds, and something really crazy started happening to me. The story goes, and this is the absolute truth, I was trying on some new jeans at Target in a dressing room because I was losing weight so rapidly. And I was pulling up the jeans. And if you can imagine grabbing onto the waistband of the jeans and pulling them up your legs, your elbows kind of go out. And as I looked at my physique in the mirror, I saw these beautiful shoulders emerge. I've never had shoulder tone shape in my entire life. In my entire life. But there they were, these shoulders. These shoulders that reminded me a lot of Rachel McGee's shoulders. Like, what? I know. And these arms, these shapely arms, these lovely kind of bicep, tricep kind of things attached to my shoulders. And I'm like, where did those come from? And I knew without a doubt, in a split second, it was from the kettlebells. It had to be, because that was the only thing that I had been doing that I had never done before. And armed with that new information and that new motivation, I got my ass out into my garage gym every other day, and I have been for the last 10 years. It excites me to this day. It excites me to this day that I get to create this body that is so pleasing to me. And for that fact alone, it's what keeps me going out into the gym every day, every other day, I should say, because people ask me all the time, number one question, and I'm sure you get this as a trainer yourself, Bill, which is, can I do it every day? And I'm like, no. You can't do it every day. You shouldn't do it every day. You need a day to recover. And on those days, you know what? Get excited about making your meals, or get excited about taking a walk, or get excited about going to yoga or something else that keeps you connected to your body and to that excitement and that belief that, yes, you are becoming a different person.
So the swing has been the key for you. And now 10 years later, would I be correct in guessing that your training still pretty much centers around virtually nothing but the swing?
Well, let's put it this way. The swing has given me the freedom to do absolutely anything else that I choose to do. What else do I choose to do? I still walk on a regular basis. I still go to yoga. I've had a Bikram yoga practice, which is hot yoga, for 9 years now. I do some other physical activities because I can. But in my regular training, I snatch, I squat, I press with a kettlebell. I do cleans. I love cleans. I do double bell work. I do all kinds of, 99% of what I do is with a kettlebell. 90% of that is the swing. But the snatch is really just a swing that goes overhead and is stopped overhead. A clean really starts with a swing. A squat, you've got to get the bell into a clean in order to squat with it. So that starts with a swing. So, yeah, my training is swing specific. But what I've done that nobody else has done before me is that I created a system that uses swings and the varieties of swings, two-hand swings, one-hand swings, how many one-hand swings before you switch over to the other side. I've created a progressive system that you can program to make it more difficult or less difficult, or to create different training effects by how long you swing, how fast you swing, how long your workouts are, what no size you use. So that all came about from those workouts that I spent alone in my gym. So when I realized the power of this movement, the swing, then I wanted to do it more. I didn't want to just do it for 10 sets of 10. I wanted to do 20 sets of 10. I wanted to do sets of 40, or I wanted to swing for 2 minutes straight, or I wanted to go in there and swing until I felt like, yeah, okay, you know what, I've had enough, I feel good. So how I did that was I came up with all of these routines, these dances, these choreographed workouts using progressive training, what I learned by accident from my husband and his training partners. So when I go out in the gym, I'll do a set, a particular rep count, a particular bell size, and I go, I'll repeat that five times, and I'll go, how can I make this harder? Oh, I can make it harder by doing them with one hand. Great. Well, if I do one hand swing five at a time, it's probably going to be a little bit more difficult to do them 10 at a time. And if I can do 10, maybe doing 20 is going to be a little bit more difficult. So it's all about building on difficulty, level of difficulty. And because of that, they're extremely scalable to people of any level. Which is what's so lovely about the whole thing, is you don't have to be in shape to start the swing. You don't have to have been an athlete in your life ever to benefit from learning this movement and practicing this movement twice a week or once a week. Consistency is key, right, Bill? You know that as a trainer yourself and in your own training, that being consistent, like what Mark says, and I like this, is this, I don't care how much you lifted in your last workout. How many workouts have you missed in the last 6 months?
That's it. You can have a great workout and hit all kinds of PRs in that workout, And if you blow off the next two workouts, it means nothing. Consistency and persistence. It's the old tortoise and the hare thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Like one of my, I mentioned just before we started this interview, one of the things that I'm working on is my own swing certification, which is where I teach interested instructors or how to use my swing progressions in order to lead group training or to train themselves or to do personal clients. And one of my, my philosophy I stole from my husband, and this is one of my favorite phrases. Any of you listening, this came out of Mark Rifkin's mouth, and I stole it straight from the source, which is, if I can't outlift you, I'll outlast you. And to me,
there you go.
Right? I know that the day that I die, Bill, the day that I die, I will have done my training that day, without a doubt. I don't know what's going to take me, but if the day I die is a Tuesday, Thursday, or Sunday, that will have been my training day, and I will have had my hands on a kettlebell that day. Now, if it's on Monday, Wednesday, or Friday, well, then, you know.
Who knows? That's different. Well, you just better plan it well. Now, what you're saying, though, about outlasting is so true. I'm just going to, a real short story. A couple of years ago, I was training in a Gold's, and I was training at like 5:30 in the morning every morning. And it was mostly the business people, the working people. So it was like guys in their 30s, 40s, 50s. And there were a couple of young kids in there training and grunting and groaning and screaming and making lots of noise and making comments about, you know, we're getting big, we're getting strong, we ain't trying to hang on like these old guys. And I just kept listening to them. And finally, I walked by them and I said, if you put half as much effort into the workout as you do into talking all the crap, you will get big and strong. And by the way, I hope you're in here in 30 years like I am and these other guys. I've been doing this for 30 years. You've been doing it for what, a year, 6 months?
Exactly.
So it's all about persistency. You can do anything for a short time.
Well, yeah, if you're lucky. But I mean, if you can keep it going, you know, yeah, that's what defines doing something and being something. That's how you differentiate. I don't just exercise. I am a person who exercises. So
it is part of your life. It is part of you.
Absolutely.
It's not something you do. It's who you are. Now, I want to talk a little about the programming. I had picked up the DVD. Actually, I picked up a bunch of DVDs, the ones that you and Mark and Dave Whitley all did. I guess it was at a Perform Better that you did for Lurie.
Yeah.
Mark's on lats. And yours, this was when I was learning how to swing. And I got yours and I went, oh, this doesn't teach me how to swing. And I watched it and I watched it a second time. I went, but she's doing some cool things with this. It's like, okay, mm-hmm. we're doing 10 sets of 10. Now we're doing 15 on, 15 off. Now we're doing this hand-to-hand thing. Well, okay, she's making a whole big workout out of this one exercise. Because, you know, when I first started studying it, it was like, all right, 10 sets of 10, like you said. And I went, all right, that's going to get old fast. And then I watched the DVD and I went, wow, she's just taking this to a whole, I guess the whole reason you created it was to keep you from getting bored.
Absolutely. And thank you so much, Bill, for recognizing that. Thank you, thank you, thank you for recognizing that that introduction of that DVD was revolutionary for the swing. Because let me tell you, now, because my husband was a master instructor for Pavel for many, many years, he wrote an article called The Swing as the Center of the Universe. It wasn't always that way. In fact, back in the day, yeah, I just love saying that now. When I got my certification in 2006, Steve Maxwell, I believe that was maybe his last cert that he taught at as a master instructor. My husband was a senior instructor at the time. And I was so sad to not get on Steve's team. I wanted to be on Steve's team so bad, but I wasn't, and that's fine. But he led one of the workouts. This is in 2006, April of 2006. And I was one of four women at that certification, one of four women. And I was, at the time, I was the first person to have claimed and pretty much given credit to kettlebell training for a weight loss of 100 pounds. All right. Nobody else had talked about kettlebells for weight loss or claimed or had such a significant weight loss. Okay, so back to my certification. And Steve said, okay, everybody, we're going to do 10 swings. We're going to do 30 seconds of swings. And I remember thinking in my head, okay, and so that's 20 swings. Like, I had already known that it was going to take me 30 seconds to do 20 swings because I had already put a system in place to alleviate my boredom or to keep me busy, to keep me entertained doing these long workouts. So as I watched all of the other guys in the gym at the time in the gymnasium that the certification was at in St. Paul there, they were all like, oh, 30 seconds of swings. Oh my God. It was like, you know, like they couldn't even imagine it because nobody was really doing more than 10 reps at a time. And there I'm like, 20 reps. Yeah. I already knew it. So that's my little story back in the day, you know. So when I had the opportunity, so nobody came to ask me to do a DVD on the swing or how I programmed the swing. Mark, of course, had been seeing me do it. He started using some of my progressions with his clients. And when my brilliant husband started using my progressions with his clients, that was all the validation I ever needed. Everything else is just icing on the cake, to be honest with you. So Lori Draper had asked, no, I think she had wanted to do some DVDs with Dave Whitley, Iron Tamer, old Prime Strongman stuff, and the Get Up. She had asked Mark to do a workshop also, and he had come up with his wonderful, brilliant lats, the super muscles. And they had another hour to kill at the workshop. It was an all-day event. Dave was doing two workshops. Mark was doing his one. And Mark says, hey, why doesn't Tracy do something on the swing? So that's how that all came about. I was just filler. I was just filler at the time. So I decided to not do a Learn to Swing video. I decided to do Programming the Kettlebell Swing video. And I'll tell you why, Bill. Because people had already I had already been posting workouts on my blog and I'd been posting them on YouTube, and people had already started using a lot of my combinations and my progressions without really knowing where they originated from. And that was fine. I was happy to see people using them. But I thought, you know what? I need to claim my work now. I need to put it on paper or on a recording to let people know that, hey, this is where this originated from. So that's why I released Programming the Swing before Learning the Swing. So if you can only own two DVDs on the kettlebell swing, Programming the Kettlebell Swing definitely is one, and Mastering the Hardstyle Swing, which is actually Learning the Swing, is the other brilliant DVD that I did with my husband Mark. So those two videos, if you can only get two videos, well, don't limit yourself to only two, because I would have to say give and take, my first workout DVD would be the third one. But those would be video materials that I would highly suggest. So after Programming the Kettlebell Swing came out, I can't believe the lovely, lovely reviews I got from top RKC instructors at the time, John Ingham, Paul Daniels, so many people who reluctantly watched my Programming the Swing video because they're like, I already know about the swing. What can I learn about the swing? Were pleasantly surprised to see how I could take one movement and change it up so many ways. And that's just the tip of the iceberg with on that. Those are just some ideas. Those are just some of the things that I had been doing that I could fit into that hour long. Because let me tell you, I could have gone on for another hour. A lot of times when I teach workshops or classes, I'll look across the room and I'll see Mark giving me the cutoff sign. You know, like when you cut off at the neck, like, okay, time's up. People can't do anymore. This is it. You've outswung them. So let's wrap it up and move on. So thank you for recognizing that that was indeed the first time, I believe, that anybody had introduced to the world how many ways to program and use the swing. So thank you.
Well, it's got some fun stuff in it. And I drove myself crazy with, I think you call it a roundabout where you go from two hand to left to two hand to right. I started doing those and I lost count. I got myself confused doing those. I found that they were a great way to get a lot stronger with my one arm swing.
Absolutely. And here, so that reminds me of a great story that I have. I just have to brag a little bit. I'm sorry. I have to brag because here I am.
You're allowed.
You know what? Here I am, a 51-year-old woman who spent 41 years of her life extremely overweight, not athletic whatsoever. And I get to teach people, men, women, from all various levels of athleticism throughout their life. So when I did, I renewed my kettlebell instructor certification when SFG did their first event in Houston 2 years ago in March. And I met for the first time one of their top level team leaders, Brian Hetzler. All right. He's written a lot of things, is well known and respected in the kettlebell community. He had taken on a challenge of doing an hour continuous swings with a 24 kilo. An hour of continuous swings. You know how many swings that is, Bill? I can tell you exactly because I've got it timed.
1,000?
It's 1,200, actually. 1,200 reps.
Well, that's assuming you can maintain that tempo.
Yeah, but it's approximate. But 1,200 is a lot more than 1,000, especially when you're doing them continuous. So anyway, I asked him, I said, well, can I ask you how you did them? Like, what was the, you know, did you do them 10 at a time? He says, no, I used your roundabout. What a compliment that was. What a compliment that was. And I was surprised only because I didn't know how far reaching the roundabout had gone. But I wasn't surprised because it is by far the easiest way to do 1,200 continuous swings. If you can get the rhythm down, and even if you don't, it doesn't matter because you'll catch up at some point. Because it gives the two-hand swing a break, it gives the one-hand swing a break, it gives you something else to concentrate on other than rep after rep after rep. You will lose yourself with that movement. So if heavy continuous swing, marathon swing is something that you'd like to try at some point in your life, then give the roundabout a go, and I think you'll be pleasantly surprised, and you'll surprise yourself at how long you can go and how much you can move, how much weight you can move. It's really a fun, it's the most requested combination of swings that I get from my students. It just never ceases to amaze me even how much fun I have with it. So thank you again for recognizing that particular combination.
It's a great thing because I prefer one-arm swings to two-arm swings. I'm like very thick through my chest and shoulders, and it's just uncomfortable mm-hmm. for me to do a two-hand mm-hmm. swing. And you know, I like doing hand-to-hand swings, but throwing in that two-hand swing in there and the alternating factor lets you go further because you do get a break from the one-arm where you're literally cutting the weight in half for a rep or two here and there.
Right. And also the torque that's produced in the lower back from having to stabilize so much weight on one side of your body at a time, it greatly reduces the fatigue in your lower back.
And you said you wanted to brag a little. You're not bragging if it's true. So how did the book come about?
Oh, the book came about. Oh, thank you for asking me about my wonderful book. So here's a really great story. So like I mentioned earlier about my certification in 2006, I was the first person to have publicly announced, proclaimed a weight loss of 100 pounds or more, because it was actually 120 pounds, using the kettlebell specifically as my main exercise. So John Duquesne, who owns Dragon Door and publishes at the time a magazine called Vitalix, wanted to do an article on my weight loss. Great, fine. That was the first time my story was published. All right, so enter in Timothy Ferris, New York Times best-selling author. His first book was The 4-Hour Work Week. That was his first New York Times best-selling book. Started working on another book, which would also become a New York Times bestseller, called the 4-Hour Body. So Timothy Ferris is well known as kind of a life hacker, right? He's wanting how he successfully was able to write a book about how to work less and make more. Now he was writing a book on how to work less exercise-wise and get the most amount of gains for the least amount of work. He called it minimal effective dose. So I didn't know anything about Timothy Ferris. Didn't really care much about Timothy Ferris. At the time, he called me for an interview about how I was able to miraculously transform my body using the kettlebell swing. Not only the weight loss, but to physically look, you know, change the shape of my body. He was referred to my story by Pavel himself. Well, Mark, my husband, like I said, worked closely with Pavel for years, 8 years maybe, up until he resigned just months ago. So Pavel shared my story with Tim Ferriss and told Tim that's the most incredible story that I've come across using the kettlebell swing for transformation. So I did this interview, two and a half hour phone interview with Timothy Ferriss, not knowing who he was, not really caring. He was asking me all these questions about how I use the swing. And to be honest with you, Bill, I didn't want to tell him all my secrets because I wanted to write a book myself. And I'm like, I'm not going to give this guy all my secrets. Well, I said earlier that I didn't have any regrets. I regret that. I regret that I didn't tell him all of my secrets because, yes, he did use my story. Yes, he did use some of how I trained the swing. But he came up with his own program that is a little bit different than mine. I think mine's better. That, you know, that maybe I could have gotten that in the book. But it all worked out because how it all went down was The 4-Hour Body was published. And, yes, it hit the New York Times bestselling list. And if you have a copy of that, if you open the front cover, you will see my picture. And if you look in the index, you will find my chapter. And the chapter that I'm the star of really is not how to lose weight. The chapter is adding muscle. That's the chapter you'll find my story in. And the reason why I have to bring that up specifically is because here I am, like I said, 50-year-old former fat girl, and I'm in a book about adding muscle. I mean, talk about making Rachel McLeish proud. I mean, I think that would make her proud, considering she was my dream body, the person that I wanted to be. And in my own way, I became that. So the book was a big hit, and the two most popular subjects in that book was the kettlebell swing and his slow-carb diet. So from that point, his literary agent called me and said, "Your story is amazing. It's unbelievable. Tim interviewed thousands of people for that book, and he chose your story because it's that spectacular. Are you interested in writing your own book?" Hell yes, I'm interested in writing my own book. So that's how it came. So when people ask me, "How did you get your book published?" I go, "I don't know," because they asked me to write the book. So I wrote the book in less than 6 months. I wish I had more time, but we wanted to ride off of the success of the 4-Hour Body, of course. And Tim was kind enough to write the foreword to my book. And Harper One was kind enough to see the potential and the value of the information in the book and in my story and publish it for me. So, I mean, talk about an incredible thing to have happened to somebody like me with basically a 10th grade education, overweight most of her life, in her mid-40s at the time, to have Harper One publish my book and put my image on the cover. An unknown author to have their image put on the cover of a book is almost unheard of. And it's a fierce image, too. So if you haven't seen it, those listeners, you know, go on to Amazon, Google my name, find the swing, and you'll see what I'm talking about. So that's how I got my book published and out there. And it's been out there for 3 years, and its content still relevant, still works, still is exciting. And so that's what motivated me to produce the workouts. The workouts that you'll find in the swing book are free on my YouTube channel. If you read the swing book and you're excited about wanting to learn, you will find step by step. I'll swing every single workout with you. You just have to go to my YouTube channel and there it is. That's how excited I am about the training. I want people to do this and I'll do it with them. And even if they won't do it with me, I'm still doing it, Bill. I'm still in my garage Tuesday, Thursday, Sunday doing these workouts. They're still very similar. If they're not exactly the ones in my swing book, they're very similar to it. And there's just no excuse not to do it.
Can you tell the lady sincerely loves what she does?
Can you tell, really? I don't want to... I just never get tired of it. I never get tired of it. I guess I never get tired of being healthy and strong and confident.
What I hear in your voice is a lot of joy, a lot of excitement, and a lot of appreciation for everything that you've achieved.
Absolutely. And I'm just going to keep doing it. I'm going to keep doing it because it's like I said earlier, I don't just do this. I am this. This is me. And it's not just the training. I also do online consulting. I will write programs for people. I'll talk to people about training, of course. But I also talk to people about weight loss. That's mostly what I do, actually. And when people call me and want to talk about putting together a diet, rarely do we talk about food. And I think that's what most people are surprised about, because really my story, my message, what I want people to hear and what I want people to know is what I know. And that is that it's never too late. And it may or may not be the kettlebell swing, and it may or it may not be calorie counting, but there is something out there for you to get excited about. There is something out there for you to take back your life. There is something out there for you that will make you feel like you know you should feel. Because when you're not healthy, whatever that is for you, because it's my definition of health is not for somebody else, it's not to judge somebody else's lifestyle. I'm not telling somebody else how they should feel. I'm telling them to just pay attention to how they feel, because they're the ones that know what feels good and what feels bad. And if you're walking around right now feeling bad, there's a better way out there for you. And if I can help you get there through my life, through my experience, through what I've done and what I've been able to do and what I do every single day, then I'm here for you. I'm here cheering you on. I'm here leading you on. And I'll take you swing by swing. I'll take you salad by salad, bowl of soup by bowl of soup, cutting an onion by cutting an onion. I will be, because I'm doing it anyway, because that's how I found what works for me. And it can work for other people.
You know, I think your greatest benefit to other people isn't even your knowledge. You could know nothing and you would influence people's lives with just your sincere enthusiasm. It's not like some fake put on cheerleader. You can tell you live this, you love this. And if that's not contagious, people are dead.
Thank you very much for saying that, because that truly is how I feel. And it's why I do what I do. So we've talked in private before about how I don't promote a lot of my products. I've got some great DVDs, like I mentioned earlier, Programming the Kettlebell Swing and Mastering the Kettlebell, the Hard Style Kettlebell Swing, and numerous workout videos that you can purchase, and a ton of YouTube videos that you don't have to purchase. But as far as products go, my book is, oh my God, the book... The swing is the value of the information of the content in that book. Why every single kettlebell instructor has not made a requirement for every single one of their clients to own my book is blows me away that that's not a requirement. Because in the swing book, not only will you hopefully get a little bit more motivated to lose a little weight if that's what you want to do, but it has so much information on the kettlebell swing and why you should do it that you could become an instructor if you memorize what's in that book. But it's very easy to read, in my opinion. So I don't try to sell it. And I'm not going to say maybe I should or maybe I shouldn't. I don't know. I know that it is a good product. I know that it can help and motivate and excite a lot of people, hopefully. What I want to do is I just want to keep doing what I do. And being on programs like your program, hopefully, fingers crossed in my fingers, gets the word out there a little bit more so I can spread the message and spread the excitement and spread the joy and talk about this more and help people stop blaming themselves so much. You know, I hear so many people talk about diet especially, not so much exercise except for, you know, well, people just don't want to work hard. You know what? People don't want to work hard at something that doesn't give them results. That's what they don't want to do. And I don't blame them. So that's my message, is like, I'm not placing any judgment on somebody because I've been there. This is what kind of blows me away. Is like, people will talk about trainers. Let's just say trainers. I'm just going to say it. Trainers or people in the fitness industry will talk about the non-fit or non-healthy to me as if I was not ever non-fit or not healthy. I spent 41 years of my life non-fit and non-healthy. So for me to say, well, why aren't people just do this? Well, why didn't I do it for 41 years? Like I said earlier, it wasn't because I was stupid and lazy. That wasn't the reason why. What was the reason why? Because nothing produced the results in my life that motivated me and excited me to want to do more or to want to become more. I want to do better. That's all. And then I found it. And when I found it, I wasn't going to let it go, Bill. I'm not giving this body back. I'm not giving my health back. I'm not giving my life back. And nobody's going to take it from me. So anyway, I know I get a little dramatic. But it's just how I feel.
You know, I was going to ask you if you had anything to say to wrap this up, but I don't think you can come up with anything better than what you just did. So I think we're probably around an hour or so, and I think we're going to call it a day here. Unless there is one last parting thought, Tracy?
Okay, one last parting thought. If you own my book or if you buy my book, please take the time to write a review on it. That's all I ask. Just write a review on Amazon because that will help other people. And that's what this is all about. This is all about all of us. That's all I have to say.
This has been Bill with Real World Fitness. And my guest today has been the queen of the kettlebell swing. She's an awesome lady. And I think I'm going to have to go out to my garage and do some swings now, even though I already trained this morning. Thank you very much, Tracy Reefkind.
Thank you so much.
Wow, just listen to all that enthusiasm. Tracy is just one of the most enthusiastic and real people that I've ever had the pleasure of talking with. I have to tell you, that's one of my personal favorite interviews. They're not all fun. Some of them are a lot of work. That one was easy and a lot of fun. Very inspiring lady. Now let's talk about next week's show. Next week, my guest will be a gentleman who has 3 black belts. He is a master of the Guardian Martial Arts. He's also a certified hypnotherapist and proficient at NLP. We'll let him tell you what that is. His name is Joshua Loya, and he's a really interesting, cool guy. Had a lot of fun talking with him as well, and we'll have him on here next week. You've been listening to me, Bill, your host here on the Real World Fitness Podcast, and I'd just like to say thank you for taking the time to listen, and hope you come back again soon. We'll see you next week. Real World Fitness is a production of the Serotalk Podcast Network in cooperation with KosiabaFitness.com. All questions, comments, and feedback should be submitted to resources@serotalk.com. If you're listening on a mobile device, use your iBlink radio app to submit an iReport. Promotional consideration paid for by Audible.com.